Toledo sports leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of the cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Glad to be back in the saddle. Glad to have you on board. Another edition of Drive Time right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. Danny Rocker's back at the studios tonight. Jim Cushlin on his way. Glad to have you on board. As always, this show is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, where the 4th of July sale continues. A lot of great deals, a lot of lease deals for $128 a month for 36 months. It includes the Compass Latitude High Altitude, the Patriot Latitude High Altitude, and of course, the 2017 Ram 1500 four-door express crew cab 4x4. Again, glad to have you on board, everybody. Tigers back in action tonight. Of course, our Reeb Funeral Home Tiger Report. We'll get to that in a moment. Coming up at about 5:12 tonight, we're going to be talking to the former light middleweight champion of the world, HBO champion, by the way. And by the way, this is a guy that is on the commission, the Boxing Commission of the State of Michigan. But I had a chance, and I got to tell you, boxing's in a little bit of trouble. Of course, we're always going to be talking about Robert Easter, the champion from Toledo as well. Bronco saw that fight, and he'll weigh in. I know Jim had him on last week for a preview. But anybody that had a chance to see that Manny Pacquiao fight, and, of course, against Jeff Horn won it. Now, I saw this fight, but I only saw the last 5 rounds. Now, so you can't take, you know, my judgment, but I thought for the most part it was pretty even. A lot of people upset that Pacquiao did not get the decision here, a home country type of decision. And, in fact, the folks in the Philippines are still up in arms about it. And I want to talk to, again, Bronco McCart about that. But I think boxing's got to do more of that. They got to get on the cable channels. Not everything can be, pay-for-view television. I mean, listen, the mixed martial arts have taken this thing over. And boxing, I mean, I can't at times even name, you know, the divisions, the classes, who the champion of the world is. You know, there was a day when you knew who the heavyweight champion of the world is. Now there's about 3 of them. You don't know what belt they're holding. So a confusing mess in boxing. But if they want to clean that up, they need more televised fights that aren't pay-per-view. But on top of that, you get one where you could watch one. Then you get a decision like this. Again, I'm not disputing it, but a lot of people are. We'll see what Bronco McCart has to say at about 5:12 tonight. Then at 5:22, 5:25, Jim Silverman will join us. Marathon Classic, of course, coming up starting the week of July the 17th. We will be out there all week long again on the 17th. Lexi Thompson, Lydia Coe, Stacy Lewis, Brooke Henderson, and a lot of folks, of course, and another great field at the Marathon Classic. We will get an update from Judge Silverman again coming up at around 5:25 tonight. Wednesday night, Matt Markey in the fold tonight at 5:35 to talk about the outdoors and some of the things going on in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan. Reeb Funeral Home Report, Detroit Tigers tonight at home. against the San Francisco Giants. And I have to tell you, it doesn't seem that long ago when these two clubs, of course, battled in the World Series. It was 2012. The Giants swept that series 4-0. Trade rumors swirling all over the place this morning on a lot of different outlets, including Justin Verlander and Alex Avila to the Chicago Cubs. So you're going to hear a lot of this over the next couple of weeks. Trade deadline coming down on July the 31st at 4 o'clock. San Francisco in town tonight. Tigers went at 5-3 yesterday. Norris will get the start for the Detroit Tigers tonight. Fulmer was great again yesterday, by the way. You know, they interviewed a couple of folks yesterday at the Tiger games, front office personnel, talking about the Tigers, their basic formula to win. You know, right now are 2 or 3 run homers in power. But the more you think about this, and the more I thought about it yesterday, and I watched some of the balls the San Francisco Giants hit, they had 4 balls in the first 2 innings, hit well over 400 feet, only to be long outs, landing in the glove of one of the Detroit Tiger outfielders. Manny Machuk was one of those guys. And even Bruce Bochy said after the game, you really got to hit the ball in this park to get it out. So you know what? This is a bit of a problem for the Tigers. Now, don't get me wrong. This run is over. There's no doubt about it. Under Jim Leland in 2006, the Tigers were back in the front pages of all the sports sections and on the internet in Michigan and all over the Midwest. They were one of the better teams in baseball. They're in 21st place right now, and only the Oakland A's in the American League have fewer wins. But it's a team that is built to win through their power and their lineup. And you know what? They're playing in a park that at times, I don't care how well you hit the ball, it's tough to get it out of the ballpark. So that's another situation as well. I talked about Justin Verlander. We talked about Alex Avila, who's having a wonderful year. Maybe Al Avila, his best move was reacquiring his son. I don't think anybody liked it when it first happened, but he's been a real staple, handles the pitching staff well, on-base percentage is outstanding. But the other names, of course, besides JV, also J.D. Martinez, Justin Wilson, Iglesias, Kinsler, who knows? Again, Tigers open for business. That was the Reed Funeral Home Detroit Tiger Report. Back with more after this timeout. We'll be talking to Bronco McCart after these words.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Hope your fourth was great. Mine certainly was. Matt Markey coming up at 5:35, 5:40 probably. Judd Silverman, we're going to talk the Marathon Classic, a little golf, but joining us now, the former champion, Bronco McCart, joins us. And, of course, Bronco covered the Robert Easter Jr. fight. Hello, champ. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Hey, I was thinking, I'm doing great. Thanks a lot. I was thinking of you over the weekend when I saw the replay of the Manny Pacquiao and Jeff Horn fight. And I just was talking about this in our intro, Broncos. Basically, for the most part, I think boxing, and you would agree with this, is trying to fight and claw its way back into the good graces and the front pages of the sports section. And here you get a fight that's not on pay-per-view and Pacquiao and Horn. Now, I got to be honest. I did not see the whole fight. I think I saw the last 6 or 7 rounds. But what I read in the paper today and what I've read over the weekend, not a lot of people happy with the decision. I guess my point is, here you can watch a fight. It's not pay-per-view. That sells the sport. But a lot of people not happy with the decision. You know something about bad decisions. We talked about that before. But tell me your thoughts on the Pacquiao-Horn fight.
I thought Pacquiao won the fight hands down. I mean, it was a good fight. It was exciting. It was entertaining. But I thought Pacquiao landed the cleaner, more effective shots, way more shots. The only blood Pacquiao really had was some headbutt that he got busted up with headbutt. I mean, at one point between the 9th and 10th round, the referee came to the corner and was going to stop the fight. And, his corner begged him, you know, give us one more round. Just give us one more round. And the referee said, I'm here for your safety. I can't continue to watch you take punishment like this. And so the guy came out. He finished the fight. I thought Pacquiao won the fight hands down. I mean, I did think it was competitively close, but I thought Pacquiao won the fight, if that makes any sense.
You know what, Bronco? The scoring, for the most part, except for one judge, you know, was pretty close, to be honest with you. The one judge had it in a landslide for Jeff Horn. Explain to our listeners on their way home, listening to Drive Time right now, and it was a close fight, and it was competitive, but boxing at times gets a black eye for scoring like this. Tell me a little bit about, you're on the commission in Michigan, about the qualifications for guys that judge fights and how they judge fights and what you think they saw.
See, what it is, well, that's the thing about boxing. It's one of those sports like gymnastics and ice skating or whatever. It's subjective. You see what you see, or you see what you want to see sometimes. You know, they were fighting over in Australia, so I did expect the scores to be close. I said 116 to 112 Pacquiao. I said, but if they want to get greedy, they can make it 15-13 Pacquiao. Honestly, this is what I said as I was watching the fight. And then when I heard the first score at 117-111, I said, well, they had to give it to Pacquiao. That other guy did not win by that big of a margin. So if you're going to give it to anybody, it has to be Pacquiao. And when they said, you know, Horn was the winner, I was kind of surprised, like everybody else, surprised, disappointed at the same time. Like you say, boxing is trying to get back in the mainstream, become one of the most popular sports again like it used to be, and at least outdo MMA as far as viewers and stuff and attracting fans. And when you have bad decisions like that, see what I... It bothers me. What I want to do here in Michigan, actually, is, and I've brought this to the attention of the commission before, is if a fight is bad, like a runaway fight, and you score a total opposite the other way, kind of like the 117-111, what I would like to see done here in Michigan is I'd like to bring that judge personally into the office, sit down, pop the DVD in, watch it round by round, at the end of each round, have them score the fight, and then tell me how and why they scored it that way. It has to make sense, because if you're just scoring because you want that guy to win, we don't need you sitting ringside scoring these fights.
You know what, Bronco? That makes too much sense. Are you kidding me? That, listen, every official in every sport is graded. I mean, the NBA, the National Hockey League, by the time the officials, the referees get back to their hotel room at night online, they're already being graded and already being updated where, you know, the supervisors of officials in these sports are able to take a look at what they saw. Why'd you call this? Tell me about it. That's a great point. I hope you can get that legislation passed because you're right. He should sit down and say, why'd you make this 117-111? You know, I was thinking of you last week when I saw Winky Wright was, you know, elected into the Boxing Hall of Fame. And everybody knows about the decision here in Monroe that most people, including you, thought you won, and from anybody I ever talked to thought you won. I mean, here's a guy that you become friends with now, Winky, right? He's going into the Boxing Hall of Fame, and who knows what would have happened if you would have walked out of the ring that night, Monroe, with the win.
You're right, exactly. You never know. It was kind of a career-changing decision. And, you know, even now, 20 years later, once in a while, I'll think about it, and it'll bother me in my stomach. But, you know, just got to move on and can't worry about that anymore. But it would have been a game changer for sure.
You know, and you have moved on. And, I've always given you credit for that. Hey, tell me a little bit about the Robert Easter fight and Denis Shaglikov. Of course, I think just about what everybody expected to happen did happen, but pretty competitive as well.
Yeah, it was competitive. It was an entertaining fight, but it went the way that I expected it to go. Robert Easter used his height and used his distance. And just, you know, outboxed the guy, kept him at a safe distance. It was entertaining, though, because the guy was very, he was battle ready, you know, I mean, he came to fight, but he just wasn't ready for Robert Easter. And again, it was another good win. And now he's going to step up to something real big, I'm sure.
All right, champ, thanks for coming on. The former WBO light middleweight champion, Bronco Bukkart, joins us here on Drive Time. Appreciate it, and thanks for coming on today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Anytime.
That's Bronco Bukkart talking about, well, a number of things, including this Manny Pacquiao fight. You know, I was doing channel surfing one night. I'd already gone to bed and woke up, and you know how you do this every now and then. You grab the remote and bang, 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 and here we go. The replay of this fight was on. And I had heard on a report of the radio someplace that, that it was a disputed unpopular decision, especially in the Philippines, probably very popular, of course, in Brisbane, Australia. Again, Jeff Horn, a lot of folks thought, you know, he got the home country nod on this. I said, you know what, this is great. I know it was a controversial decision. I saw the last six or seven rounds, and as Bronco Bukkart said, pretty darn competitive. But nobody in the boxing world that really has any experience, not very happy with the decision. All right, back with Judd Silverman, Marathon Classic Golf Talk. After this show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. This is Drive Time coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. 4th of July sales event continues. Back after this.
Host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board. The 4th of July sale continues right here at the Superstore. As always, the show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Talked to the former champ, Monroe residents, Bronco McCart, a couple of moments ago. Of course, Bronco talking about the Pacquiao fight, the Robert Easter fight as well. Matt Markey coming up right around the corner about 10 minutes from now. Joining us now, Judd Silverman, Tournament Director, Marathon Classic, coming to you on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations, or visit Vito's.com. By the way, tomorrow, new location opening up in White House. Tomorrow, by the way, is free fold-over sub day. One of my favorites, the Italian. Again, tomorrow, the new Vito's. It's in White House, by the way, right next to the Goodwill store. It's on Weckersley Avenue. Vito's tomorrow. And then on Friday, free small pizza day, the new Vito's in White House. Hello, Judd. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you doing today?
Very good. Battling a little bit of laryngitis, but not too bad, which never goes great with the radio business. But we will we will get through that. Hey, good to talk to you. I haven't had an update in a while, I guess was the real purpose of my call today. But we know Lexi Thompson, Lydia Ko, Stacey Lewis, Brooke Henderson, Brittany Lincecum, all committed for the Marathon Classic, which gets underway in, well, the week of the 17th, 18th, 19th, all the way through the 23rd, with a lot of great events, a lot of great charities will benefit, as always, approaching $10 million in money that charities have received over the years. Any updates and anything we should know about?
Well, Mike, you know, one player that we've added to the commitment list is the winner of last week's Women's PGA Championship, Danielle Kang, the American from California. And that was a great win for her. It was her first win on the LPGA Tour. Came at a great time as she's, you know, trying to battle to make the U.S. squad on this year's Solheim Cup, which will be played in Des Moines in August. And she jumped all the way up to fifth in points for the American team. So she's almost really secured a spot for the Solheim Cup. And, you know, getting her first win in a major championship, we're really looking forward to having Danielle play in this year's Marathon LPGA Classic, along with those other great names, like you mentioned, Lexi Thompson, Stacey Lewis, Lydia Ko, Jarena Pillar. We've got an outstanding field, and boy, the golf course at Highland Meadows is just in fabulous condition. And with the new 18th hole, that's going to be very exciting for us. I think it's a little shorter, so we could see some eagles on that hole. And it's really a beautiful hole, and should be very interesting the week of the tournament.
Hey, you know what, Judd? It's funny that you say that. Yesterday, my wife has had a get-together at our house probably for 20 years of the 4th of July. I mean, the pageantry and the pomp and circumstance and the flags. Had about 100 people there, by the way, and it's turned into an annual thing. A lot of kids and people in the pool and this and that. And a good friend of mine had nephews, pretty good players, single-digit high school players from the western side of the state. They were all out at Highland yesterday, and this comes from guys that are 7 to 15 handicaps. I think they had a group of about 8. And I want to say they told me there were 3 or 4 birdies and an eagle on that hole yesterday in their group. So that leads to a good question. If the weekend whackers and the 12 handicaps are, you know, making pretty good scores in that hole, you got to believe it's going to be an exciting finishing hole for the girls.
Well, no doubt about it. You know, Mike, the way they've positioned the new green, it, as you know, it's not an easy second shot to get home in two. You know, you're going to have to hit a high, soft shot from about 200 yards to do it. But, you know, that's a heck of a lot shorter than the second shot used to be for the women, which, you know, was well over probably 260 yards. So it should be fun, especially when the two finishing holes are par fives. You know, really, you could see an eagle finish out here, and that always makes it fun for the fans. You know, I'm excited to see how the players, you know, attack this hole.
You know, Judd, I was going through the, like you do out there, listen, you're a plethora of information when it comes to the LPGA. I was going through Lydia Ko's record since she won last year out at Highland Meadows Marathon Classic. It's been a bit of a struggle, I'll put it this way, for Lydia Ko. Maybe some home cooking back here at Highland will straighten things out for her, but she's gone through, you know, another coaching change, a caddy, gone through a number of different things, which I guess isn't real uncommon for professionals. What have you heard on her, and what do you think it's going to take her to turn things around?
That's a good question, Mike, because, you know, Lydia's 19 years old or 20 years old, and I don't think she's ever been in a slump. So, you know, this is something new for her. And, you know, everybody's speculating it's because, you know, she fired David Ledbetter as her coach and she's changed caddies several times. I don't understand it, to be quite honest with you, but, you know, you never know a player that young, what kind of influence her parents have on these kinds of decisions. I just don't know. But if I was the mom and dad and my daughter had won 14 times in like 3 years between her 16th and 19th birthdays on the LPGA Tour, I'd say she's doing pretty well and knows exactly what she's doing out there inside the ropes. And I would just leave it alone. But, you know, we'll see. She's such a great young lady, and she'll figure it out, Mike. She's too talented not to figure it out. And I don't care what player we're talking about, men or women, all of the great players have gone through slumps in their careers. And even the great goal scorers in hockey go through great slumps sometimes. But the good ones find a way to come back, and she will.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You're right. She's delightful. We had her on this show, I think, last year, along with Brooke Henderson, of course, who is, let me just tell you, I spent a lot of time in Canada. You can't go any place in Canada without seeing her on the front page of a sports section or a magazine. And we had her on the show last year from the Marathon Classic. Another delightful young lady.
Oh, my gosh. She is incredible. You know, she reminds you of Lydia Ko. I mean, Brooke is like 19 years old as well. And, you know, she's won major championships. And that was a great event last week at Olympia Fields over in Chicago when she and Danielle Kang were battling coming down the stretch. And, you know, I got to give Danielle Kang credit for a player that's never won the tournament. You know, she did what she had to do. She made five birdies on the back nine and only won by one shot over Brooke Henderson. So I think our fans are going to love watching Brooke Henderson again play Highland Meadows, Lexi Thompson, Danielle Kang, Stacey Lewis, you know. And we've got three wonderful amateurs. We've got Leona McGuire from Ireland, Mike. She's the number one ranked amateur in the world, a position she's held for 2.5 years. She just won the Women's British Amateur a couple of weeks ago, and she's also going to play in the U.S. Women's Open next week. So, and Leona McGuire finished 20th in the Olympic Games last year. She was the only amateur in the top 20. So it wouldn't surprise me if she came in here and played well against these professionals because she's already done that. So we're just really excited about the field, Mike, and obviously everything the tournament does for charity. You know, we've got a kids zone this year with all sorts of mascots, and so there's something for everybody out here. It's a great family event, and come on out and help us raise money for Northwest Ohio Children's Charities. And we even still need a few volunteers. If any kids want to be standard bearers, we need a few more of those. And a few more marshals. So just, if anybody's interested, call the tournament office, the Marathon Classic tournament office.
I'll tell you what, I'll remind everybody throughout the week. I will see you next week speaking to the volunteers as well. And, hey, thanks for coming on. I love the week because you run into people that, you know, I see them maybe once, twice a year, and it's at your kind of like old home week every time we go out to the Marathon Classic at Highland Meadows. You need anything, let us know. Judd, thanks as always
for
coming on, and we'll touch base down the road.
Sounds great, Mike, and everybody's got to come out and check out this new 18th hole at Highland Meadows. It's something else.
Heard a lot about it, no doubt about it. Judd Silverman, Tournament Director, Marathon Classic. All right, everybody, back with Mac Markey after this. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, and this is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.
106.5. Quit banging your head on that steering wheel and turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Glad to have you on board. Another edition of Drive Time coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. My name's Mike Miller. Again, glad to have you on board. We talked to Judd Silverman a couple of moments ago. Before that, Bronco McCart, the former champion from Monroe. He, of course, was the light middleweight champion and fought for the WBO light middleweight crown on numerous occasions. Joining us now, Toledo Blade outdoor editor Matt Markey's his name. Matt Markey, of course, his appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft, where fishing's her passion. Expert advice is always free. Visit Netcraft on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee for everything you need for bass, walleye, anything that swims. Long time, Mr. Markey. How are you?
Mike, it has been a while. I'm doing fine. How are you?
No, very well. A little laryngitis, so bear with me, by the way. But, again, great to hear your voice. Listen, I thought your story, especially after the 4th of July, and I just mentioned to Judge Silverman a couple of moments ago, my wife has hosted a 4th of July party, I want to say, for the last 20 years. It has grown by leaps and bounds. A lot of young kids swimming and dressed up in red, white, and blue. And I was thinking of you as soon as I saw that article about balloons and other items that people celebrate, either good things or bad things about. And all of a sudden, do they not only turn into trash, they turn into dangerous things for our wildlife.
They do. It's such an unusual phenomenon because you're basically, you know, permitted to litter indiscriminately, and sometimes it's litter that you can, you know, send up on fire. And I mean, it's just so inconsistent with everything else we do. If someone flicks a gum wrapper out on the road or in the parking lot, you know, we look down on them and think of them as littering, you know, which they're doing. But yet, when we see people releasing these balloons and sky lanterns by the dozens or the hundreds, for some reason, we're supposed to think that's a beautiful thing and all. And you know, as I tried to stress in the story, you know, I know sometimes these are very well-intentioned. They're memorial services or it's, you know, some effort to promote, you know, peace and serenity and all those things. You know, I get that part of it, but there has to be a lot better ways to do that. You know, plant a tree in someone's memory or do something that's has only positive consequences, because these things, they end up someplace. And a lot of times they will end up in the water or in farm fields. And, you know, I'm surrounded by farmers where I live, and they tell me this stuff gets knotted up in their equipment, the strings and the, you know, Mylar balloons and the wire from the lanterns and all, and it messes up expensive farm machinery. Sometimes they've taken off alfalfa or straw or hay, and it gets, you know, inside the bale, and then if they're using that later with livestock and the livestock, you know, can, you know, ingest these things, you know, you can lose a very expensive steer or a cow over just, you know, something careless like this. Besides the fact that they, you know, they land in the water, and a lot of times turtles or birds will ingest these things because they kind of look like some things they eat for food. And, you know, once that gets into their system, it's, you know, what the biologists tell me is a very slow and agonizing starvation. You know, that's not, you know, those kind of things happening. We just need to stop and think, is there any sense to this at all? You know, and especially the lanterns. I mean, there's documented cases where they've caused fires that have done millions of dollars in damage, but yet we still do this.
No, and I think a lot of things like this, you know, your story is a great reminder. And, you know, when people, you know, do things, especially with the lanterns, it makes them feel better. But you know, you're forgetting what the long-term or immediate effect have on the environment. As you mentioned, fires. I mean, listen, I was watching the news this morning, and California, of course, which is always a, you lived out there, a hotbed for wildfires. Yeah, it makes absolute sense, and I think the more folks like you write about it, the more we talk about it, you know, eventually. People seem, give them credit, the more they're pounded, the more they're reminded about some of these things. We have seen change over the years, and hopefully this is the case here. Hey, your other story was Zapp Lurs. I remember your original story there, Mr. Markey, but congratulations, and I hope I say it right, Greg Balderzak, and the new owner of Zapp Lurs, and talked about Dennis, the original owner, who's kind of an icon out of the Maumee River. So a guy that lost his job working for the Andersons ends up a pretty good ending to this story, and probably a lot of work and a lot of sleepless nights to figure things out, but I got the feeling he will.
I think he will, too. Greg is a super high-energy guy, and he's very motivated. It's going to be a family operation. He's got his full support of his wife and his children, which I think is important when you're, you know, starting out as a small businessman or an entrepreneur or whatever. And, you know, he's gone from working at Anderson's, where I'm sure it was very structured and a regular schedule, to now, you know, you're the one-man band, and so you're running this show, and it's, you know, it's going to take a heck of a commitment, but I think he's definitely, you know, in it for the long haul. And it was so reassuring to see not only that Zapp Lurs, the name, wasn't going to pass, you know, with Dennis Bryant's, you know, abrupt death and surprising departure, but, you know, the business was going to stay local, and it was also going to stay in, you know, enthusiastic hands. You know, somebody didn't go in thinking, well, here's a place we can, you know, absorb this company and make a lot of money. You know, this is a, you know, Greg's a guy who wants this thing to succeed because of what it stands for. And I, you know, I also applaud him for not sitting around after the closing of Anderson's and saying, woe is me, I lost my job. You know, a lot of people lost their jobs. It was very sad, and it was a shock to all of us. But, you know, this guy had the gumption and all to just, you know, pick himself up. And here we go. Here's the next challenge. And, you know, I'm all in. And it's, you know, I've heard from a number of anglers who are thrilled at this because Zapp makes certain products better than anyone else, and they want to continue to be able to get those products. So it was just a win on so many fronts. I mean, Dennis's family was thrilled that, you know, they found someone local, someone with enthusiasm to really go after it. And I just think it was really a feel good story in like 10 different ways.
Matt Markey joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust, Vito's Pizza. New one tomorrow, opening up in White House. Go in tomorrow from 11 to 7. Free foldover sub day. The new Vito's again tomorrow in White House. Matt Markey joins us again, as always, here on Wednesday night, talking the outdoors. Hey, a quick question on the Zapp Lurs, Matt. Are they unique to this area here, what Dennis did for all these years? Obviously, you want lures, and if he's selling them on the Maumee River, you know, I guess the simple answer is yes, indeed, they are designed for this area.
They are very much so. Dennis was a tournament bass fisherman for a number of years, so he made a lot of, you know, bass specific lures that anglers throughout the Midwest and the Great Lakes have used after meeting him in tournaments and taking a look at, you know, what he was using and all. But he made a number of lures that were very, you know, specific to this area for the walleye run, the white bass run, and also for walleye on Lake Erie. And I've had a number of walleye fishermen tell me that, you know, they've used the weight forward, whether it's an Erie Derry or something like that. They've used the Mayfly rigs, but the walleye rigs that Dennis made have been the most successful, the most productive over the years. And so he specialized his craft for this area and primarily served, you know, the bass fishing tournament crowd, and then the Lake Erie and the Maumee River crowd. But he has a website, had it up and running, and did a lot of mail order stuff. So he was sending it all over the country and some into Canada as well.
You know, you write a story about once every month or 2 months that I think puts the fear into everybody. We've talked about Asian carp and fish that are invasive species. Read your story, of course, on plant life as well. Probably a little bit tougher to spot and a little bit tougher to control, but here we go again with another problem that we got to get on.
Absolutely, and it is so tough, you know, to make the distinction, and it's difficult for someone, you know, I tried to stress in the opening of the story that the names sound very harmless, and some of these things initially, you know, can be very beautiful in a certain setting, but we need to understand that they don't belong here, so what happens when they're introduced here is they will crowd out native species, and those native species, a lot of wildlife and birds and so on, you know, rely on those native species. And also these things will proliferate in our waters because they're not native here, and then we'll end up with a lot of problems with, you know, water being clogged up, and it affects, you know, pumps and boat motors and swimming and so on if these things just take off and, you know, really go crazy. But you know, it's going to help to have, you know, that website where you can clearly see the pictures of them, the identifying characteristics, and so you know what it is you're looking at. And, you know, with Michigan and, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of lakes up there and the way so much of life in Michigan is around the water and associated with the water, it's really important that people that have cottages or own boats or even, you know, use those different lakes and facilities, that they're aware that there are some bad guys out there. They're all hiding in green clothing, and we just got to figure out which one's which.
Again, Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. His appearance brought to you by Jan's Netcrafts. He's on the Vito's Pizza phone line. What you working on? Of course, we read your stories religiously every Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday.
Well, Mike, it's been, you know, great being able to do that, and you know, to talk to you about the outdoors every week. And, you know, I've enjoyed it so much, and I'm glad we can continue to do that. There's so many things of interest going on, and you know, I look forward to the next conversation and every opportunity we have to talk about the outdoors in Ohio and Michigan and beyond.
Good stuff. Talk to you next week. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor, back to close it out after this. Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, with the 4th of July sale continues. Back after this.